And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am your host, Dougie Almeida, coming to you live from Danger Studios in Simpsonville, South Carolina, where I'm getting an accent every day I'm here. I'm joined by my good friends and fellow comedians, Mr. Joey Medina.
Hello, how you doing, Dougie?
Awesome, buddy. And Wyatt Coate.
What's up, everybody?
We're going to go ahead and call this a winner show because these two gentlemen were big winners recently in one in film and one in comedy. And it's good to have winners on the show, gentlemen.
Thank
that
you.
That's how we rank in the views, Joe. That's how we rank in the views, Dougie.
Yeah. I didn't know it was ratings week, but I don't know a lot about that stuff. You guys, let's start with Wyatt. Wyatt, you and I last saw each other when you did win the World Series of Comedy main event in Las Vegas.
Indeed, a few short weeks ago.
Feels that way, right? How does it feel to be the reigning champion of the World Series of Comedy?
It feels still very surreal. It still doesn't feel real to me. It's been a goal for like a long time, and something I never thought that I would actually win.
Yeah, me either, buddy. No, I'm like it.
I had done well previously, but there was always I was always stopped up towards the end with, you know, so something got in my way. There was always a fly in the champagne, you know?
Exactly. So, I know how you feel. You and I share that same former path of yours. And, you know what I mean? And a matter of fact, it was funny because, you know, I shared this with you before the show. You on your first round, you came off stage and you sat next to me. You weren't feeling too good.
I was not.
And, you know, and I was having one rough. As a comic, you know, you're like, Joe, you know this. When somebody, you know, comes off and talks about anything about their set, you know, you're sitting there going, you know, how am I going to fucking handle it? You know, what do I say here, you know?
Yeah, it was rough, man. It was a rough crowd. But the thing is that we all have a level playing field, you know. We all performed for that same crowd. And I have a thing in contests where I can't watch whoever goes after me.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they crush it, if they're up there crushing it, it's just a dagger to the chest.
Yeah.
You know, you guys know how it is. I mean, there's nothing I can do at this point. I'm just going to leave the room and hope for the best.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Because sitting there, you're right. You're sitting there because nothing worse than be sitting there. And you, let's say you get off stage, you think you had a good set, and someone goes up there and like kaboom, and you're like, don't laugh. Yeah. Don't laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, stop it. Do I need to call it a bomb threat? Like, I have to pull a fire alarm if you guys laugh again.
There's some crowds though that if you're a good polished comic, it's hard to make them laugh. But if you're just, you know, a bar comic, just whatever, and you're killing. So it's kind of like, well, it's hard to really compare yourself to other comics that are getting laughs when they probably shouldn't be getting laughs, like in an average setting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, especially Vegas, which has notoriously unpredictable crowds.
Right.
You know, if any comic who's played Vegas, I mean, you go out there and it's usually a whole week of shows, seven nights, and you just don't know what you're going to get every time.
Yeah, like, it's true. It's a different city all over again. Like it's because everybody comes from everywhere, so you just don't know.
Yeah. And especially the World Series. Joey, were you at the World Series?
No.
Yeah. So the shows were at like 4 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Oh, that sucks.
Instead of the usual 8 and 10 because the comedy club is, you know, they're obviously trying to recoup their expenses from being shut down for so long or limited capacity. Right. So instead of replacing their normal 8 and 10 shows, they just added us in the afternoon. So
matinee.
You know, I had to do a couple of those 4 p.m. shows and oh my God, on a weekday, Tuesday, and then I think again on Friday. Friday. And yeah, it was
my semi-final round was Saturday at 4 p.m. And I'm like, and I went first and it was like, oh, you know, like Joey, you said, like I had in hindsight, using my hindsight Hinduism, I figured, you know, next time I fall into the situation, instead of just doing my act, I should have just came out and act like as if I was hosting a show. show and said, look at this place. You know, this looks like you guys look like you're ready for a reverse mortgage seminar. You know, just not even doing my act. Just get the crowd, you know, into it a little bit, because nobody, like, it was like 10 people in there and there was like 15 comics. trying to build a room.
That's painful.
It was brutal. You know what I mean? And right there, you know, of course, as I went up, I was trying to feel, you know, spirited and positive. I think, it doesn't matter if you're first, let's do this. Yeah, I know it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, I know, like, you know, there's still the market's still open, for God's sake. I mean, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Shit, you know?
Yeah, people still in bed in Vegas at that time.
Yeah. And a lot of that crowd's people who probably were losing on the tables. That's what Jim Barnes said. He was like, these are people who are losing at gambling, and they're like, let's go do something else.
Yeah. I mean, that might be a good way to open up a show. Like, so how are you guys doing? Ooh, oh, fuck, this is going to be a hard set.
You got to hope the whoever's judging, you know, is experienced enough to get that and know that and kind of ignore the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, the thing is, like, you know, like I said, if we're all performing for the same crowd, you know, like, they're going to be just as tough on everyone else.
Yeah. But I think what you said, Joey's right. I think a lot of times they'll recognize that. And that's why, even using hindsight Hinduism, I thought maybe the club owners and the judges would have thought, oh, that's smart. This guy, he's just going to take the bullet and, you know, get the show going, you know, and just make it a Vegas show. You know, just come out and just hammer him in the face. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the right way to do it. But then you got to figure, like, is that what the judges are going to – because you don't know how the judges are going to think it, right? The judges, they may think, well, you should just do a set. We don't care about the audience. But we as comics, we're like, okay, I got to twist my shit so I can make these audience laugh.
Yeah.
So you don't know.
That's the craziness of a contest. You know, the contest, it's always like – it's so much – that's why, you know, I love going to festivals for the camaraderie and the fun and the networking and shit. And just, I mean, especially in Vegas. Sometimes the comedy festivals that are just festivals and you get to perform and do a bunch of shows, sometimes a little more, you know, a little more entertaining, you know, right? A little more, less pressure and shit, you know?
Yeah.
And if, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that if you listen to the panels, the industry, you listen to multiple club owners or bookers, they all kind of like want something different. Yeah. And those are the people that are all judging you. So, you know, some are going to say, oh, I want someone who goes off the cuff and, you know, does crowd work to get the crowd going. And some club owners just hate crowd work.
Yeah. You're like,
you know, so a lot of luck has to, you know, there's a ton of factors involved and luck has to swing in your favor. So
speaking of luck and things swinging into your favor, Joey Medina, I mean, your Facebook, but just, you know, the movie, it, you know, award, winner. And that's
22
like,
so far.
Holy shit. Like, you know, aside from being a very funny comedian, Joey loves making film and putting together stuff. And he's a genius at it. I don't know. Everything I've seen you put together, I'm like, you know, I'm just saying, when's he going to fucking have me in a role? You know what I mean? Like, don't you have a mob guy that you need sometime or something? You know what I mean? I got to fill some fucking role. You know,
I'm gonna put you in my another project I'm doing called Wet Bacula. You're gonna love it.
Wet Bacula.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. So tell us about this, man. What you put together, what people are obviously loving and enjoying.
Well, you know, it's during COVID. Before COVID, I wrote another short film called Philly Delight about a transgender drag queen. And then it was a drama. And then, you know, COVID happened, pandemic and, you know, quarantine. And I had to shelve it because there was a lot of actors involved, a lot of locations. There's no way I can do it during quarantine. But, I had the bug to shoot something because I was, you know, preparing already. So I decided, let me write something that has maybe just two actors in one location. So, you know, that alone is difficult just to do that. So, but I came up with a good concept and, I started writing the script and I'm like, yeah, this is going to work, you know, and it was just perfect to write around the right time. Has a little bit of racism in it, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And, you know, I think it's really hard to come up with a good story with two actors because it's boring otherwise. Right. So that was a big challenge. But so far it's, even though I think I've done actually better stuff before this, it's winning a lot of awards. It's getting into a lot of festivals. I mean, there's a lot of festivals that's not getting in either. A lot of, you know, people don't see that. and you know, and entering festivals costs money, just like getting into a comedy festival. So it's, you know, I'm going broke. So imagine, you know, doing a couple hundred comedy festivals. You're like, Jesus Christ, man, how am I going to pay for all this, right? So it's kind of like that. But I'm doing it for, you know, to hopefully make other things happen. And you know, it's going really good, man. It's got good momentum. The story is pretty strong, and you know, like I said, we've won a lot of awards already in editing and directing and acting, and so I'm really proud of it.
Well, awesome. Well, if you need some funding, Wyatt just won the World Series of Comedy. How much money did you win with that? Wyatt, what was the cash prize?
you know very well how much.
I know. You get work.
The thing is, I would rather have the work than money, honestly. Like,
oh yeah, hell yeah.
Because that's the thing, is that it's not immediate money, but it's long term money.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I always tell people the World Series of Comedy is half the reason half my year is booked. You know, from
me too.
And stuff. You know what I mean? So it's always been great.
And it's also you know, it's also a great title and it's perception, and that's all that matters. You know what I mean? Winning anything is always good. And it really is. And it's just, you know, like some of the film festivals I won are small, they're just online, but I still won. You know, there were other people in that festival, you know, a couple of hundred that I still beat. So it doesn't matter what festival it is. So it's kind of, you know, I'm glad
you brought that up, because I want to ask you guys that, because, you know, we all know about losing and helping your fellow man. That's and, cool. You know, we've seen people, like, you know, struggling and, more compassion for shit. But there's something, you know, I think sometimes it's easier to get out of the doldrums of life if you experience a win. You know, I think sometimes that's all somebody needs to actually lift themselves up, right? I mean, how big is it to win? Like,
oh yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, perfect example. The other day, I think it was Saturday, I got notice from three festivals that I wasn't accepted. Back to back, three. And I was depressed, man. I'm like, oh, this sucks. And then the next day, I won four awards in one festival. I'm like, fuck those three. You know? Yeah. I'm like, okay, so, you know, so that it just worked out well. So, but you're right, wins make you feel better. It's just it's always, you know, you bang an ugly girl, but you still won. You know, you banged somebody. So I don't know. It's like
Joey and I are like brothers. We love the expression bang. He bang. She bang. She bang. Is that Ricky Martin song? You know, but
it's like, a William Hung song. It's a William Hung original, clearly.
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Ricky Martin covered him.
Yeah, well, I wonder whatever happened to that guy.
That's right. That's right.
Who was that? American Idol, right?
Yeah.
William Hung, right?
Yeah.
Was that
his name?
Yeah. God, that must have been 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was in elementary school when that came out.
Yeah, he kind of won. You know what I mean? He kind of won it for. I mean, look about that. There's a guy where just your exposure, you know, to what you were doing. He didn't win American Idol, but I mean, no. That poor. That, I'm sure his life went a lot further than he thought it would have.
At the time, at least. Yeah.
Unless, you wonder where. Remember the other guy in America's Got Talent was that guy Sanja, who like Howard Stern had everybody vote for. And he was like horrible. He was singing like fucking like Van Halen and stuff. And he was just horrible off key and everything. And Howard Stern had him get him voted and he kept advancing. He was like this. And the people at American Idol are like, this is really bad. You know, this isn't fair. And, you know, meanwhile, that guy's like, I'm back, bitch.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, they put their fair share of bogus acts up there just for the entertainment of it.
I think that was hilarious. When I think about winning, you know, I think about my first real experience in winning, obviously, was in sports. And the biggest thing was going in my sophomore year in high school, we went to the state final championships in soccer. And for me, for prestige, you know, you mentioned that about his win, prestige and notoriety, and be able to say it. Say it not in a boasting way, but say it in an achievement way, right? I think, you know, that the thing that's always discouraging is the haters will be like, oh, they're just being conceited. No, man. They, you know, winners deserve to fucking, you know, put that out there. You know what I mean? I mean, you're not going to go around and say, hey, you know, I won the World Series. No, you know what I mean? But you carry it, right? I mean, that's part about winning. It gives you that feeling that, hey, I'm going to do shit. I'm going to finish shit. I'm not going to worry about not doing something, right? It just gets you to it propels you through the rest of life's grungies, right? I mean, isn't that a big part of winning?
Yes.
Yeah, and then people look at you different. You know, they really do. It's because because we all know how hard it is to win at anything. You know, we all have dreams and we always want to, we all say we want to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. But then when you hear somebody else did it, you're like, oh, okay. So, you know, all right. And that's, I mean, you know, I've noticed I'll go to a gig. The other day I went to some event, some Hollywood little crappy event. And, you know, people like, oh, hey, man, you film. Hey, good luck with your film. Like, I'm like, okay. And, you know, it's just because posting every day, I'm winning something. And in my mind, that I'm finally being looked at as a filmmaker, not just a comedian. Because when you're a comedian, it's one of the reasons I started doing dramas and horror films, is because if I did a comedy and I'm a comedian, nobody would take me as a filmmaker. They just think I'm a comedian that did a film. I'm a filmmaker that made a film, right? So that's why I'm like, I want to do other stuff. I don't want to do comedy. But now people are knowing me more as a filmmaker than they did before. And I really like that. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Everybody can go fucking do comedy. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah.
Wyatt, what else do people know Wyatt as besides a comic?
Surfer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I grew up at, you know. Like you with your soccer, I was a competitive surfer.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Throughout my childhood, from when I was like, you know, 13, from middle school through high school till the end of my senior year. And I didn't win shit, though. I made one contest final in all those 4 or 5 years.
Well, I have to ask you a question then, because as a surfer, and I surfed a little bit, I used to be able to get up a little bit and fall. You know what I mean? That's as good as I ever got for a little while. But as a surfer, when you think in high school, like, again, I mentioned this, I was a sophomore in high school and we were state champs almost, you know what I mean, as a sophomore. And in the final game, I saved the penalty kick in the shootout. And everybody's like, holy shit, you know, the guy's like 14. And then, but women, girls, you know what I mean, in high school, that carries, you know, fucking all the senior girls, senior cheerleaders are like wanting to bang a sophomore now.
Were they now?
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, listen, my numbers... like that as a kid. But you know, as a surfer though, I remember the surfers in my high school were getting banged all the time, dude.
So are you asking me if I banged a lot of chicks in high school, Dougie?
I'm just saying speaking as a surfer, not actually Wyatt Cope, but being the guy who's a surfer, like, did that actually help you in your younger days as a man?
You know, it's hard to say because I never knew life without it. So I wouldn't know what it would be like to not be one. But no, I actually I only lost my virginity in high school. It was a one-time thing, and then I never did it again until I got to college.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Granted, I did spend a year sent away at a teen treatment center, so I couldn't for a whole year of high school. Was not allowed. There were girls there, but we couldn't interact with them. Mm. Or we could interact with them, but we couldn't like. Hook up with them, you know, like
I got you. It had to be
in common stuff. Areas, and we couldn't touch each other.
Oh,
like, no, that's not even hugs.
Yeah. So even though you were a surfer in high school, you had the sexual exploits of somebody in the marching band.
I could say that, yes.
Yeah.
That is why I should have just played the clarinet.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you had the same sexual activity as Bill, who played the oboe.
I have the same sexual activity as you currently, Dougie.
He's fucking digging at me. I was on the road for a few days, so thank God. Thank you for the iPad. Thank you, Apple. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, how about now filmmaking, Joey? I mean, women. Now, but I will say this: winning the last photo I saw of you on Facebook on one of the premieres you had, we were all in black. You looked very stealth. Was that just? The pose, the camera angle, was that part of your movie making magic that made
a little bit? Yeah, a little bit of everything. No, I've lost a lot of weight recently, but I still got a lot more to go. But yeah, and the black makes me look thinner. So.
Yeah, well, you look like fucking Mark Anthony.
Thanks.
You know what I mean?
Just a tiny bit taller. Just, yeah. You know,
I had an old joke back in the day when he was married to J-Lo, or they just got divorced. I'm like, I did J-Lo's birthday party. It was funny because she had a piñata made out like Mark Anthony. You know, it was so thin, nobody can hit it.
That's funny.
turn the fan off. Okay. Now, you guys are both, well, winning's big. And we think that in order to win, you know, you have to participate and you have to be consistent at it. Like you mentioned it, Wyatt, this wasn't your first World Series of Comedy. Like I've been in, I don't know, four or five main events. You know what I mean? I think I made the top 12 or whatever it is on two different occasions. You know what I mean? So you got to keep at it, right? I mean, whatever. It's about consistency.
Yeah, it was my fourth time in 5 years because last year I got COVID during it. Like I got right beforehand, so I couldn't go. And so I started in 2017. That was my first year. And I got rejected from my first satellite. Did you know that?
No.
So I didn't even get, I replied to the San Diego satellite, which, because it's just down the road from me, and I didn't even get into the satellite.
But you made it into main event.
So what happened was I wound up getting a spot in the satellite because I, someone didn't show up. And so I had to open the wild card round on Wednesday night. I had to be the first to go. And my set was so bad that I didn't even stick around to see if I advanced.
Really?
I just
you
left.
Did? And right you advanced after. And you left? They advanced you? Did they advance you?
So, well, then Joe called me the next, I didn't advance, but Joe called me the next day. And apparently I was next in line to advance because he was like, yeah, someone else couldn't make it, so you get to go again.
Nice.
So I had to open up round two. I had to go be first to go again. And another pretty bad set, but I stuck around this time and I still didn't get through. But then I did Sacramento, which was like probably a month later, and there I got to the semifinals. So then I got to the main event, and then I advanced in the main event.
Yeah.
I got to the top 16. That was back when I know the format's a little different now.
Yeah.
But that was back when it was top 16, top 8, top 3. So I got to that quarterfinal round in 2017. 2018, I made the top 8. 2019, I went back down to the top 16. And then 2020, I missed it. And then this year, I won.
There you go. We are all winners in some form or fashion. Now, you guys living in California, I'm just wondering if you're a little concerned. There's no water. There's fires. There's a plague. I mean, you got to love it. It's beautiful weather. But do you guys feel like your days are numbered in California?
I definitely believe in climate control. I mean, it's just evidence everywhere. You know what I mean? And it's just, I honestly think realistically, there's only so much water you can have, you know, unless you're recycling it or bringing, you know, cleaning it from the ocean or whatever. And this, you know, I think every time I throw out the trash and I see them picked up, I'm like, at some point, there's not going to be any more room for shit, you know. Like, I don't know. So, being here in California and listening to, you know, about how listening to all the information about how water is so scarce now and how things are drying up so bad now. Yeah, I'm afraid of it. I just hope it doesn't happen in my lifetime. You know, fuck everybody after me. But
yeah, right. Just leave a few bottles of water in a time capsule.
Yeah.
Now Joey, you lived in New York, you lived around the country, but Wyatt, have you almost lived all your life in California?
Yeah, except for 5 years on Oahu.
Yeah, nice.
Hawaii, my college age. I hope a lot of people's, my days here are not numbered. I'm not leaving, but I hope a lot of people do because there's... When everything, when there's all this stuff about, the demise of the Golden State, I'm like, yes. I'm like, yeah. There is nothing I want more than a traffic-free drive down to the beach, park right by the sand, and surf an empty break.
Vete a la calle. Vete a la calle. It's like the opposite here in Greenville. There's like a Facebook page in Greenville, and there's people that are mad. Like, there's certain, like, the lady said this place is beautiful, it's great, but there's a bar.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're back.
There's a what?
Where there's certain bars in Greenville where there's a lot of locals. And if they find out you just moved here, they're like, because they don't want to see this place get spoiled. Like it's getting so popular that, you know, people are coming here in droves. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I started doing that now. I was like, people ask you, love your new house. I'm like, it's heaven on earth. Now I'm like, it sucks. It's horrible. You know, stay the fuck where you're at, dude. Don't come and bother me. Yeah, because, you know, as a comic, you know, people say, well, you're going to move to Vegas, or move to Vegas. You're going to move to L.A. You're going to move to New York. And I'm not going to move to New York. You know, that's a place that I wouldn't live in, with everything considered, right? I mean, everything that's happening, we've just experienced. You want to be in close quarters and around a million people, every day. You know what I mean? But I don't know. That's why I moved here. You got green, a lot of green, a lot of water. There's water everywhere here, man. Water everywhere. So don't, cool. when the fucking place dries up, you know, don't come running over here. Doug, can I stay with you in your water? all right. Listen, in comedy, we all know the Dave Chappelle story, how the LGBTQ and transgender folks try to have him canceled. And I don't know if you guys have seen the special.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about that real quick, but they've kind of failed, and I think it almost seems like it's an interesting time in our history, in our culture right now with this cancel culture, in that, you know, people have stood up to it, and that people are starting to realize that cancel culture is not that effective as long as you don't really let it affect you. Now, I don't know, in sense, do you think anything he said was purposely disrespectful or anything to the community that's at odds with it?
No.
Yeah, neither do I. I actually thought he was more, he was nicer than, you know, he actually paid compliments and he said positive things, and yet nobody brings those things up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He took care of, you know, the transgender woman he was talking about on his show. He took care of her daughter. He put her up on stage. He did good things that if he was transphobic or homophobic or any kind of phobic, he wouldn't have done, but they don't bring those things up. And I think that I think this is with any group that feels like they're being, you know, attacked, or you got to pick your battles. Like, you know, I'm as big as liberals you can find. Right. But I don't believe in the cancel culture. I don't. And to me, I call a spade a spade. And I think, you know, his special was awesome, and I loved everything he said. Even and the one before that, there was some stuff he said I didn't agree with, but I still enjoyed it, and right. I still understood it was his opinion. I'm not offended by other people's opinion. I've never have been. I may not agree with it. I may think it's crazy, but I'm not offended by it, because everyone should have their own opinion. And the thing is, this it's a comedy special. Netflix doesn't force you to watch it. If you don't like it, turn it off. And if you don't turn it off, then it is what it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. And, you know, I guess there were some employees that wanted to boycott and they were going to quit. And
well, fuck it. Let them quit.
Yeah, that's your choice. You know what I'm saying? What I thought was interesting was, you know, if we want, and I believe in equality, right? People should be treated equally. Which, the thing about equality is that if you want to be equal, then you also have to be potentially made fun of, and you have to have a thicker skin. You know, you have to be able to accept the fact that some people don't like you. You know, some people just don't care about your fucking problems, don't care about your plight. Some people just don't.
Especially when it's not a new thing, because it's not, but it's a newer thing. You know, being a minority now is not a new thing, right? The minorities have been on for forever, right? But now this whole movement where, you know, I'm not a he or a she, I'm a them or it or the or a if or a what, or, you know, all these are new things that I even have a hard time wrapping my head around, right? I personally don't care because it doesn't affect me at all, and I'm not against it, but I don't have to be all for it. I don't have to be in love with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong, or I'm not saying, you know, people shouldn't call themselves pronouns or adjectives or verbs or whatever they want to call themselves. That's fine. I don't care. I really don't. That's your thing. It doesn't affect me at all. But if somebody else doesn't understand it, this is brand new, kind of, you can't be upset. You can't be like, what do you mean you don't understand I'm a the?
Yeah.
Because I fucking don't.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, you want everybody to be, it's really hypocritical when you want other people to be more tolerant, understanding, when you're not. of other people yourselves. That means you want to be special. You know, you're looking at this as an odd thing. And I think you're right. I think that's it. I mean, I had something in my mind I wanted to say about it, but
If you want to call yourself a thug, go ahead. I'm not against it.
Right.
I'm fine. Do it, but don't get upset at me because I don't understand it. Explain it to me. Explain it to me.
Now, if you're in a conversation with somebody and they say, "Oh, them," and you're like, "Oh, I'm not doing that." All right. Well, then maybe you should walk away from the conversation. That person just being a little rude, right? You know, they say, I'm sorry. It's not, nothing, whatever. But I relate it to not understanding or respecting that level, right? Or being that when it comes to that. It's almost like, people have this issue about, like, if you ever hold the door open for somebody and they don't say thank you, like, I have friends that get mad. They'll say something, "Oh, fuck you then." You know what I mean? I'm like, because my way of that is I'm doing something because I know that's how I am. That's who I am. Right. I'm going to open the door, not because I'm expecting something from it. I'm doing it because that's who I am. That's who, that's my normal action. I'm not doing the action because I'm expecting something from it. But sometimes people get pissed because, it is kind of rude if somebody doesn't say thank you, but who am I to call them? You know what I mean? It's almost taking the emotion out of it, right? Talking about transgender, you take the emotion out of it. It's almost the same, questioning of how somebody handles something.
Yeah. Plus if Dave Chappelle is, if he's transphobic, if he really is, Dougie, how many comedians do you think Dave Chappelle knows in San Francisco? How many do you think he knows? Hundreds, probably.
Yeah. Everybody.
How many could he get to open for him? All of them. But he chose this one with no real experience. In the video, he claims she does a 45-minute set, which is a hell of a set for someone with no experience. So if he's if he's transphobic, why would he pick her?
Right.
Exactly. And the thing is this: people have to understand too that there's room for people to grow. When new things are happening, we have to learn. When back in the 50s and 60s, when black people were moving into white neighborhoods, you have to learn to grow. You can't hate right away. People are going to hate in the beginning, but then they're going to go, "Hey, you know what? I like my neighbor. My neighbor's actually pretty cool." You know what I mean? And the same thing with, I was that way with a lot of things in life where in the beginning I didn't understand or I disagreed. And then later when I understood more, I grew and I became a better person and I understood better. And I think this may be one of those things. And I personally think that Dave Chappelle has actually grown a lot. I forgot one of the specials he did. He did a lot of jokes that really were, aggressive or whatever. But this one, he wasn't. This special, he was actually compassionate and he had empathy. And I agree with everything he said. You know what I mean? And the thing is, people in the world now are like, you have to accept no matter what. Like, no. Like, let me tell you something. No. Like, if I have a restaurant and you're going to be a waiter and you want to wear, you want to wear a tutu and green hair with lights in it and spurs, I'm like, look, that may be dope, good for you, but in my business, I may not want that. You know what I mean? And good for you. You have the balls to do it, but I don't. But it's that kind of thing.
But somehow this new entitled younger generation feel you should cope with that. That's the thing. You should be able to cope with that or have to do that. Or, this is the way I am. It seems this newer younger generation's like that. Like, this is the way I am. You have to understand everything I feel. And I'm like, it's gotten to the point where as a human being, as I leave my home and I go out into the world, it's hard enough that I have to think about what I want to do and say, but now I have to consider the feelings and emotions of millions of other people. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, how impossible is that? How much is that actually expecting people to do? And it's going to lead to failure either way.
Yeah, and I 1,000% support people, transgenders, people who are gay, people who are bi, people, because I think they've been persecuted enough in this world, right? And I love how their caucus is huge, Well, that's no, that sounded almost like a joke. Right. The gays have a big caucus.
He's talking about gay people. He's talking about huge caucuses now.
Yeah, and the thing is this, it's not our fault if you don't know. You know what I mean? If I don't know that this guy walking up to me who's wearing, you know, a vest and painted nails, but yet he's wearing man shoes and he's like, he looks like both genders. And I don't know he wants to be called the. I don't know he wants to be called a she or if. Right. Like, I'm like, hey, bro. Hey, ma'am. Like, this, yeah. I did a shoot the other day, not the other day, while a little bit ago. And the cinematographer had a female name. And when I met the cinematographer, I'm going, that's the manliest woman I ever thought. And then I'm listening to her speak, and it was a man, but who was going by as a female. And I was like, I was cool with it. I was respectful. I said everything the right way. And I had to, you know, I'm like, don't mess up. Don't mess up. Hey, bro, don't say anything like that. I was just, because I wanted to, you know, I think she deserved the respect. If that human being says, I'm a woman, my name is, you know, Lisa, my name is Kathy, or my name is whatever, then you know what? That's what I'm going to call you.
That's how you respect you.
Yeah. But if I didn't know this and I just said, hey, sir, don't be mad at me. I didn't know. You know what I mean? That's what
like
I'm saying.
Like that viral video in the game room. Was it a GameStop? Like, it's ma'am. I want to take you outside and beat the fuck out of you. Oh, you're really. You know what I mean? That's amazing. All right. So we're kind of going quick on time. I want to go over something here. We're going to skip that. All right. Being that there's so many shortages now, and I don't know what that noise is, that click, but if somebody could watch that. The shortage, like there's tankers outside your guys' coast trying to get in here. We may not have Christmas, you know. People, you know, there's going to be a lot of shit missing. What is it that you guys really fear? Because I went to a sports bar. They didn't have fucking chicken wings. They had a waiting list for chicken wings to make sure they have food. I'm like, how can you fucking be at a sports bar and not get chicken wings? So what would be a couple things as we approach the holiday season that you guys would say, fuck, I can't believe they're out of what?
I'll go with the opposite and say, I hope they run out of underwear because I think we should all stop wearing those. We got to all free ball it all the time now.
I do.
That's what I want them to run out of. And I don't know. Well, we already had a toilet paper shortage.
Right.
How did that go for you guys, by the way? What'd you use instead?
I use wipes, man. So I have a year supply of that stuff.
Yeah. I just did what my dog did. I just kind of dragged my ass on the carpet.
You just drag your ass on the carpet. Yeah. And they just call it a carpet cleaner every other day.
There was no toilet paper around, but there's plenty of carpet you can go and buy and replace the ones on your house. Yeah. Joey?
Yeah, I don't. Well, the thing is this: I used to always shop at Wish, and it was always late. So now I don't even want to try that, man. But, you know, I don't know. I just right now I haven't seen shortages of anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but like my thing is Costco. I love Costco. So the second some of my stuff is not going to be at Costco anymore, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it sucks. Costco. Like I see it. I live by the beach, and I see those cargo ships just parked there.
Yeah, one of them. Okay,
I live off of Long Beach, right by the port, man.
Yeah, there you go.
I guess one of them was at fault at dragging their anchor around that pipeline that got that fucking all that oil spill on your guys' coast.
Yeah,
it was off of Huntington, right where I surf. The beach I surf got shut down for a few days.
Oh, it's amazing. All right, here's a quick part of the show: things to know. These are just important things that I've seen, and we should think you should know. In Italy, the Green Pass shows proof of vaccination. A negative COVID-19 test, and a recent recovery from the disease. Let's hear it for Italy that actually respects and acknowledges those who suffered and survived COVID as just as valuable of a human being as those who decided to get vaccinated. Let's hear it for Italy. That's what this country's problem is. That's why people are vaccine shy, is because, like, stop pushing it. If I had it, don't fucking bug me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just don't bug me. Let's start recognizing the people who survived. And these fucking mandates, people getting fired. Half the police force in Chicago is about to get laid off because of a vaccine mandate. And you know how many of those cops had COVID? I mean, come on, let's stop playing fucking games.
But having it's no guarantee. I mean, there's
no guarantee if you got the vaccine. Forget about any of that shit.
Yeah, my mom.
No, but it's like, I mean, I know someone who had COVID three times. times. The first Colin two didn't
Powell,
help.
Colin Powell just died, and he was vaccinated from COVID. He just died. He had cancer complications and stuff. So there's if you have the shot, if you've not, you know, listen, I had COVID, never been vaccinated. And how many planes have I been on? How much traveling have I been doing? But there's studies that show natural immunity actually is more, and I get into this and I've told them previous shows, but it's more effective than the vaccine. And if you want, just there's an analogy, when you use steroids, as a bodybuilder, if you use steroids, you're pumping hormones into your body, right? Versus natural hormone production. Natural immunity, there's natural T cell production that lasts longer, even though the antibodies are gone. Fully vaccinated, Colin Powell dies, I just mentioned, of complications. Here's an interesting. It's so bad in Afghanistan that family members are having to sell their kids for money. So let's hear for freeing Afghanistan. All right, let's get to the funny stuff. The news is a joke, everybody. You guys, we shared some stories, and our job as comedians is to somehow make fun of them. It's a little easier because they're not that serious of stories. Our first story, in New Zealand, if you're a wizard and you live in New Zealand, you may be able to get a job. You ever use a wizard in any of your movies, Joey?
Wizard? No, I have not. I have not used a wizard. I wish I have many times, but. No, you know, I heard that story and I'm like, what? Are you serious? Like, it's who would hire, what government would hire wizards? I don't get it.
Unless New Zealand.
But it's like, you know, that's like Harry Potter shit. Like, I didn't know that was real.
Yeah, New Zealand.
What do they mean by a wizard?
Well, like, New Zealand City's official wizard has been taken off its payroll. This guy... the city council of Christchurch announced that it will stop paying its official wizard $16,000 a year. Euro, I guess, is about 14,000 US. What they did was Ian Brackenberry, that's a bit of a name for a wizard, Brackenberry channel. The wizard has been serving the city's appointed wizard since 1998. He's been the wizard. Imagine you're at a bar. What do you do for a living? I'm a pilot. What do you do for a living? I'm a wizard.
Yeah.
That is $14,000 a livable income in New Zealand. Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. He probably also Uber drives.
Yeah. And he wears the fucking wizard outfit.
He has to do that on the side. People are like, is this your only job? He's like, no, I'm also a wizard. He's I'm just doing this till my... Tell the dean of Hogwarts resigns.
Exactly. It's odd. I really found it odd that my wizard Uber driver was using a navigation. He was hired to provide acts of wizardry and other wizard-like services as part of the promotional work for the city.
What's a wizard-like service, do you think?
I think if it's raining or shit's going on, he kind of walks around and that's like doing shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know. I guess everybody's going to assume he's a good wizard.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing is, like, when you go up to the wizard, you call him him, her, they. I mean, we're kind of a wizard. Call him Wiz.
He sounds like he gets about as much done as anyone in the administration office at a local high school.
you open up, like... Teachers, notable, they're one of the most notable, respected professions, right, in our country, being a teacher. I feel like that is beginning to be tarnished in the way things are being handled with schools nowadays. We talked about the FBI being used now at PTA meetings because teachers don't like it when they can do whatever they want without parents being pissed. Next story. This is great. Saved by a smartphone. The bullet bounces off a Motorola phone with a Hulk cover. Stray bullet. Can you imagine the luck of having your fucking phone? Like, the only way, like, my phone's in my ass, so I would get shot in the ass if my phone saved my life.
But that's happened more. I've heard stories like that before. Yeah, it's good luck. you know. But if you had a, it was probably one of those, you know, Boost Mobile or Cricket, one of them ghetto phones.
I was gonna say a Motorola phone. I don't think this guy's had the best luck. I don't think. First off, he's got a Motorola phone. Second off, he's in a place where bullets are just flying around.
Yeah.
I think if that was me, I'd rather just it go into my heart.
The only thing we can add to it is that he was at a check cashing store at the time.
Yeah, there you go. paying his phone bill.
Yeah, I was going to say, asking for a payday loan.
You know, that is a social gap right there, wealth gap. You know, I pay all my bills online. I don't know if you guys, but to have to go, you know, things are not good if you have to go to a cashing store to pay your bills.
Well, of averages then. His life hasn't gone well, so this was his lucky break.
Right? I mean, think about it. I mean, would you trade that? I mean, if he had an iPhone, that would have went right through the fucking iPhone. You know what I mean? I wonder if that guy had one of those, you ever get one of those cases for your phone that turns your phone into the size of a phone book? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
a fucking case. I put this case on here. Now I'm walking around with a phone book. The coolest part of the story is that the G5 phone, which turned his finger, also had an incredible Hulk phone case on it. You know?
Yeah. I bet Hulk the phone still works too.
Yeah. So now let's see everybody get the Hulk covers for their phones. Our next story, Dyson male contraceptive. You know, we don't want to get any women pregnant. I mean, I'm hoping your sexual activities have picked up since high school, Wyatt. But especially now that you won the World Series of Comedy, girls are just flocking.
You know how many female followers that thing has.
Oh, my God. But who likes wearing – I haven't worn a condom in years. I mean, you know what I mean? When's the last – well, I don't know. I should ask Joey because it seems like there's somebody there with him. But Joey, when's the last time you wore a condom?
I think when I had COVID, I was just afraid to catch anything else.
He felt vulnerable.
Your immune system's down and prone to viruses. So
now when I go places, I wear a mask and a condom, no matter what.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, I wore them in the ocean after that oil spill.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't need any oil getting up there.
Yeah, right. That'd be scary. So when's the last time you wore a condom, Wyatt? So in the ocean, I guess. Okay.
Every day.
Yeah.
Where, you know.
Why not?
I wear them so I don't have to. If I wear them, I don't have to get out of the car to pee. So.
Wow.
I think it's like a diaper, but more efficient.
That's one big reservoir you got in that condom booth.
Yeah, I do. Well, I slide it halfway off. So.
And it stays on.
And then I take it off and tie it off like a water balloon.
And
I leave them in my car for when there's road rage.
He'll get me, fucker. Throw it out the sunroof. Guy's flashes on his windshield. Well, you guys got to be careful because it's illegal to stealth now in California. I don't know if you're aware of that. No stealthing. It's illegal.
I heard of that. You can't secretly take off – when you secretly take off your condom to try and get a girl pregnant.
Oh, what guy would want to do that? That is ridiculous.
Well, exactly. That's a chick move to not take their birth control.
Well, I think – here's the thing. I think – I don't know if it's that. The only reason I've ever taken a condom off was surely not to get a girl pregnant, but was to get to the real – you know what I mean? Like it was just – you know what I mean? Like enough of this. It's not working. I've never done it to get somebody pregnant. I did it to get off. But here's a new male contraceptive bath device. Wins the Dyson Award. And here's the thing. A groundbreaking form of male contraception which uses a kind of testicle bath. Doesn't that sound exciting? I mean, testicle bath. They're going to have that new in Sandals now. It's a resort. When you go to Sandals, the all-inclusive resort, part of it is a testicle bath. To prevent pregnancy has been unveiled in Germany. And we know how sexy the Germans are. Rebecca Weiss, an industry design graduate from the University of Munich, took the prize. It means, I guess, but the do is you soak your nuts and, you know, that your swimmers stop swimming.
No, that's good, I guess. Just kick them in the butt nuts. And
I'd rather just laminate my penis. I'll just do that.
Laminate it.
A nice shellac.
Yeah. I'll just stay a loser.
just get some Gorilla Glue, man. You know what I mean?
Unfuckable.
There you go.
Yeah, that's how I do it. I just stay fat. I don't need to worry about a condom because I'm just fat and unattractive. That's my device. Yeah.
Just keep doing your act, Dougie, and then that'll be your
digs. That's two digs. Yeah. All right. Our next story. Indonesian man marries a rice cooker and divorces it just days later.
Well, actual rice cooker. I thought just because in Indonesia, all the women are rice cookers.
I didn't know that rice cooker was a pronoun.
Yeah.
I thought it was just he, she, them, they.
It's almost like the guy answered an ad. You want to marry a rice cooker? Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if her Instagram for her pronouns said rice/cooker.
Oh, my God.
Pretty mean to just call your wife a rice cooker. I'm pretty sure she does other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the guy was disappointed because he realized the rice cooker couldn't have sex. Like, you know what I mean? This product has not. I mean, I guess that's what's next in Indonesia. You can get a rice cooker with a fleshlight attached. I wonder if that would help the marriage.
Poke a hole in the rice. You got it. It's hot, wet, and warm already.
All right. Now we know why he's not getting laid, Joey. Now we know.
American Pie style. I'm not saying that I do this every Tuesday, but, you know, just this guy lacks creativity. That's his problem. He's not solution-oriented like I am.
Well, he married a rice cooker, and in our podcast, we have a rice fucker. So that's pretty good.
There you go.
Between the two.
That'd be great if there's just a rice cooker right here in my bed. I wish that I knew that this was gonna come up because I would have put one right.
Hand over.
Yeah, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
meet my new girlfriend. All right, our last story of the day: the Fart and the Furious tattoo artist set ablaze during a butt tattoo. I may have added this story after I sent you guys the outline, but the guy's doing a butt tattoo, you know, by the anus, and who doesn't want to get their anus tattooed? I mean, wasn't anal bleaching a big thing for a little while there a few years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can get Groupons for it.
As what you guys think the ones would know about this.
Yeah, people got their anal bleached, so it looked, you know, like...
I don't get enough action for that, so...
I'm like blinking at you. Yeah, it says here that getting a tattoo is always fun, of course. But as he was painting the tattoo... the person farted and it caused a fire and burned the guy's eyebrows off.
Oh, well, that's weird.
What
occupational hazard.
Yep.
Was there a candle nearby?
Well, I have to ask you, being this story, there's certain things as young men we do. It's passed down by generation to generation by other men, other people we meet as we grow up as men. But have you or have you not ever done the fart into a match or fart into a lighter?
I haven't done it, but I know what it is. I've heard of it. Was that what they were doing?
It was like the original TikTok challenge before there was TikTok. You know, as a guy, right? You had a few things that you would try as a young man. You would hold a candle up to your face in a mirror, in front of a mirror, and say, "I believe in Bloody Mary," or whatever that was, or Bloody Mary or something.
Bloody Mary.
Yeah, you say it three times and something's supposed to appear. And then the other thing was to try to light your fart on fire.
Yeah. I've heard I've heard of horror stories where the people burn their buttholes.
Yeah.
I've heard of it going back in.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's bad. I'm going to stop doing that then.
I stopped doing it. I'm trying to reduce emissions. So I stopped lighting.
Yeah.
Because it turns methane to CO2, and it's bad for the environment.
Yeah, especially with all the drought you're having in California, nobody should be lighting their farts on fire.
Yeah,
because then you got to maybe use some more water to put them out.
That's the problem.
So you don't waste water either.
I'm at the age now that I'm too old to do anything dangerous, man. I'm just you know what I mean. I don't want to. I don't even take elevators. I don't. I'm just whatever. I know I can die any minute, so I'm just I'm scared of everything.
I couldn't do it now because I don't think I could reach my ass. You know what I mean? I mean, it's bad enough. You know what I mean? It'd be like, fucking, how do you do this?
All right, I'm on my way over, Dougie.
Yeah, let's do this.
I'm getting on the plane. I got my pack of Bics with me.
Well, I had some, like, I actually witnessed it being done. I had a friend that wanted to do it, and they were trying to do it, and he couldn't. I remember all young. And then I'll hold the lighter, and it was like, really? And I'm sitting there witnessing this, and it did poof a little bit. So
as a former chemistry student, I can tell you that is a flammable gas.
Yes, right? It's methane, isn't it? It comes out of your ass?
Yeah. It's not as flammable as propane or butane, but it is flammable.
Yes. It depends what
you're barbecuing, and you run out of any kind of gas, just, all right, I'm just going to fart on our food.
Yes. There you go.
That's what a lot of places already do, I think.
And with that being said, what a way to end the show with our winners of today about lighting farts. I want to thank my good friends, Mr. Joey Medina and Wyatt Coate, for joining us today on the Wake Play with Dougie Show.
All right. Thanks for having us. Doug.
You guys are great. And you got some more films coming out. Let's do some plugs. What's coming up for you, Joey?
I'm still, I'm still doing the festival circuit with Beautiful Violence, which is the name of the film. And then that's it. I'm doing a show in Costa Rica on November 6th. So that's going to be fun. Nice. And then that's it. Just chilling.
You're going to do a lot of fishing in Costa Rica?
Yeah. No, you know what? To be honest, I don't even fish for reels now. You know why? Because I don't want to kill fish. I know it sounds gay. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say it sounds gay, but you know what I mean. It sounds. I've become soft, man. I have become very soft, and I don't eat meat. I'll eat fish. If somebody else killed it, but I won't. Because the last time I went fishing, I was putting hooks in the bait fish. And I was sticking it in their eyes, and I'm like, oh, that's sad. Like, I'm sure. So for every fish that every bait fish that I put a hook through, I let another one go. And I'm like, I don't want to do this no more. So I'm not going to go fishing ever again. But anyway.
You're like the Thanos of fishermen.
Yeah.
Wyatt?
Seattle International Comedy Competition next month takes up 3 weekends of November.
Dude, good luck with that, man. That's going to be a contest.
Yeah, and then in the event anyone listening to this is in or near Long Beach, I'm doing a show on November 9th at Port City Tavern that I'm headlining. And entry is free. I'm just taking donations only. It's to help compensate for the time off that I have to take to do Seattle, because I can actually make money at, but you have to make the finals or semifinals to win money. So just doing a little fundraiser for myself. So if anyone wants to come and bring a little cash to donate, much appreciated.
Cool. Yeah, good luck, man.
Yeah. If not, reach out to Wine and make a Cash App donation, for God's sakes. Help the kid out. It's funny. Keep him going. You know what I mean? Otherwise, he's going to have to light his farts on fire for somebody to pay him to do it. This week, I'm home. I'm in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm hosting this weekend at the Comedy Zone in Greenville for John Crist, which means I got to come up with 15 minutes of really clean shit to do on stage. Looking forward to that. Don't forget to follow our show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow us on Instagram at the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. You can follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram, and of course on Twitter or TikTok and Twitter, I should say, at Funny Fiduciary, because some asshole from England got me kicked off fucking Twitter. that's another story. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us, and good to see you all. And I look forward to seeing you guys and sharing a stage with you in the future.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Take care, guys. Thanks, God bless everybody. And we'll be back next week right here at the same spot. Take care.
See ya.
Wake up.